Welcome to SDI Encounters, a podcast from Spiritual Directors International. I'm Matt Whitney. Thank you so much for listening. I offer a heartfelt welcome to new listeners and a welcome back to existing subscribers. If you like this show, please do click on the subscribe button. Here we offer a wide range of perspectives, stories, and conversations centered around community, spiritual companionship, and spiritual care. You'll find additional information, including videos, webinars, and digital publications at our website, sdiworld.org. SDI is a member-supported global contemplative movement that contributes to peace, justice, and living in right relationship with all creation. Your membership supports this podcast, publications, educational programming, outreach, and more. Together, we're changing the world through the contemplative action of spiritual direction. Everyone is welcome to become a member at SDI. You do not need to be a spiritual director to join. Benefits include subscriptions to our Presence magazine, Listen and Connections, our Discover newsletter, discounts on educational events, and more. Become a new member or renew your membership on SDI's secure online store, secure.sdiworld.org. This week's podcast features Stacy O'Coin and David Summerfield. Stacy and David facilitated a workshop at our annual conference this past March called Seeking Connection Through Sound, Meditation, and Creative Exploration through the use of singing bowls. The description of their workshop states, "Singing bowls during meditation help carry folks into stillness by slicing through the chatter of the mind. From this place of stillness, we find the connection with our inner self, our intuition, our connection to the divine, and we prepare the way to authentic, open engagement with others." During the conference, Stacy and David stopped by for this podcast conversation. And just as a note, and that pun was totally intended, there are moments where the singing bowls are played and they sound beautiful, but in the audio recording, they were super loud. So I did make a tweak to the recording so that you could still hear them, but they are not going to explode your speakers. So enjoy. Okay, cool. So, well, thank you for being here. How's your conference going so far?
Oh, it's beautiful.
We're amazed.
Yeah?
We had no idea what we were getting into.
This is your first conference?
It is.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's so cool.
It's more than what we thought could possibly happen.
Yeah.
It's so moving. People are so present in their work and so willing to engage and listen and commune. It's a beautiful experience.
Yeah. That's our group here. Mm-hmm. They all just want to like dive in right away. Mm-hmm. No time for small talk. Let's get to the meat and potatoes.
I find
of
that
things.
So refreshing. I mean, it's like we all speak the same language. Mm-hmm. And there is, and it keeps surprising me actually. There's no kind of having to interpret or, you know, it's just this openness and presence, like immediately.
There's no excuse.
Yeah.
Being given for anything.
Yeah. Well, no excuse, and there's an urgency too, I think.
Yeah,
especially
absolutely.
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are important times, and to find community and support
to
one
be
another.
Part of it.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you. Talk a little bit about the work that you do and the gifts that you brought to this conference.
Well, actually, I approached, we work with sound and singing bowls and meditation, and we do retreats with people. I came to it, I'm also a clinical social worker and I have a practice. But that's really altered quite a bit in the last many years. And what really has come through the door, so to speak, and in my life, and animated my life, is this process of working with people in their transitions and along a spiritual path, simultaneous to my own path and spiritual growth. And the bowls, the singing bowls, strangely enough, have been a part of that and helped guide me to that and along that path, introducing me to people that maybe I never would have experienced, introducing me to move and help people, carry people into that place of stillness through our meditation practice. It's something about the sound that can carry us, that we feel both externally and internally simultaneously, that something about that resonance, that awareness or experience of being in two places at the same time, awareness of two things at the same time. I can hear this outside of me. I also feel it, experience it inside of me.
Yeah.
That simultaneous awareness, experience of that is powerful, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings us out of our density and our insulation in ironically, in moving inward, we get to that place of interconnection, connecting to the divine, connecting to a place of receptivity and listening to one another and to our deeper selves. And it's transformative. And so actually David and I met when we were singing together in the symphonic choir in Bozeman, Montana. So it is sound and music and singing that has that brought us together to begin with. So I guess I shouldn't be so surprised down this path.
Yeah.
There's something very powerful with sound, and I've started incorporating that into my private practice with people individually, where we do some work on what they are working with and the narration of that, and then moving into the experience in the sound and what comes up for them, and moving into that place of stillness and listening and receptivity, and then moving back into the narrative and talking it through from where things have sort of shifted and moved. So
can I just add that, like, this bowl that we have in front of us is a G bowl, and when you hear that, you're hearing the sound of G on the scale, but it ringing then is ringing inside your body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that vibration, that frequency, is ringing that sound inside your body, mm-hmm. literally. And it can't help but knock out everything else that's going on. And so when you're chattering in your head about what you should have done before you got here, or where you have to go, or problems,
all the to-dos
and so forth, the sounds of the bowls just wipe it out. And suddenly you're absorbed by the sound that came from outside that is now inside you.
Mm-hmm.
And when Stacy has all the bowls laid out, and we're going from a C to a G to a B to a F, intuitively what is necessary, it's all just filling your whole being inside.
Yeah.
And wherever you are searching for something to happen inside intuitively, maybe subconsciously, can then happen because it's sort of taken over.
Sometimes you have people who just instantly start to sob and need to have gone to somehow the bowls, the sound, the tone meets that place of pain, and it has a space to be expressed and to have it let go. And sometimes it accesses a part of us that may be just blocked and sort of so tensed up inside that we're not in that flow, in that place of receptivity as much, of uh-huh. knowing ourselves or being open really to encountering someone else.
Yeah.
Authentically, we're hiding, we may be fearful, we may be not wanting to encounter that which we don't know, that is new. And there's something about that then that allows us, that sort of dissolves, and we soften, and we really do take on the quality, dynamic quality of the wave. Of we become less particle and material and go into the dynamic wave,
yeah,
where things are possible, and we break out of our old ways of seeing something or understanding something, ourselves included, and it opens things up for a newness, and for things to be let go that is old and no longer needed.
And hearing it, it's almost like you're remembering something.
Yes.
Because we recently got a little Tibetan singing bowl, you know, and I didn't even know I was getting it. Like, I was looking for a chime for meditation, and then discovered that it's a singing bowl. And like with my son, it was almost like this like deep discovery where, you know, it's like, wait, if you take the little mallet and sort of do it just right, like the thing just like suddenly unveils itself.
It does, yeah.
And it gets deep in you. And when it's like that sound, like whatever that tone is, like I'll remember it. And in the moment, I want to like respond to it. It's like that, I just want to like hum it.
Yeah.
See, that's chant it.
And that's beautiful because we, in our voices, we have that ability to sound like the bowl too.
Yeah.
And sort of that conscious presence of sound and our intention that we bring to it, I think is a really very important concept. And sometimes even being aware of when we encounter a situation or a person who challenges us in some way, or we have doubts, noticing how our voice diminishes, gets tentative. And when we understand that we are instruments of sound as well, and that is a metaphor for so many other ways, how we show up, how illumined we want to be, how we can expand, that awareness, growing awareness of that sound, of hearing a note, a sound, and hearing it within us. And often these notes can be kind of oriented to different parts of our bodies that may be feeling very small and meek or unsure.
Yeah.
And so we can actually apply that within our own instrument, our own bodies. And then we feel that connection of the thought, that remembering of the sound, and bring it into our bodies, start bringing air in and exhaling and using our vocal cords and feeling it resonating in our bodies, in our core, in different places, and even moving it up into the heart and up into the throat and even in our head, that resonance. And there's something to that. There's something in that, you know, in their ancient traditions for so long that used chanting and singing and prayer, that is again, that same sort of arc, that same journey that we allow ourselves to move into the place of stillness and listening receptivity, instead of being always in the action and the doing, to really be full and be more conscious of the sound and into silence. Mm-hmm. And they're both parts of the same thing. The interconnection.
And there's something about the resonance of the sound that, like, when you perform the bowl, it's the sound is so long, but it, like, that resonance stays with you long after the audible sound has ceased.
Oh, I have to say that when you were talking about going and finding a bowl and what it did to you, the first year that Stacy was playing the bowls, there was one bowl in particular, and she would often start the meditation with this one bowl, and it was a solar plexus bowl, or was it the sacral bowl?
It's a
solar plexus, I thought. Her first, and it would start out with a ding, not just the humming of rubbing it, but the tapping of it. I would instantly break out in tears. And it was almost like I could count on it, and I couldn't figure out why. And then finally I realized there's something in that part of my body that was needing to be released. And it, after a year, she could play the ball all she wanted, and I wouldn't, you know, break down in tears. Something was cleansed,
yeah.
It was gone.
Mm-hmm.
I still really love that bowl. And then I think this is what's happened. I've incorporated that tone into my body. And whenever I feel either tentative or in a place of unsureness, I could just, I get that tone, and I just get filled with power.
What a discovery.
Oh,
it's like there's this huge part of you you didn't even know existed.
No, and until you hear this stupid
hear
old bull.
And
you know?
Suddenly it's like the doors get blown off, and then and then they're open. They're there. It's it's not so shocking anymore, but it's like you are now a more fully you.
And it's funny because here we are, we're talking about this, and it's not a logical concept. Some people may feel like, what do you mean?
Yeah, it's weird.
But it, I think that is the journey that of welcoming that aspect of who we are in being more whole and dynamic in who we are as human beings and with one another, that there is an interplay that can't be, and within ourselves and within each other, that is really more akin to using words of attunement that are for example, that are akin to music, sound, the moving into the experiential, the frequency, vibration, and not just, which incorporates a dynamic quality. And we are so, our Western way of viewing the world is so, in our language even, is so noun-based, so static. It's about defining, and it's more rigid in that way. And I have a friend, Ed Duran, who is a psychologist and Apache, and he speaks of many indigenous languages are more verb-based. So there is movement, you know, it's that says a lot about how we orient ourselves, how we limit ourselves too. If we are alive in the language of verb, of movement, the dynamic quality in like music, out of our heads in that logical defining kind of aspect sometimes, though it serves us well and is a good instrument, but it's not the only way of viewing things or living or experiencing life. And in fact, when we engage with that, it's richer. There's layers to it. There's also opportunity for movement. We're not just pigeonholed into certain things, one thing. We can continue to become. And so I very much like that. And so working with the language of intuition, of music, of sound, of the symbol, and it means a lot to me, and I think it's a crucial time for that.
Yeah. Maybe explain, can you explain what the bowls are? Like, what is a singing bowl?
Well, we have a couple different kinds, but actually today we have the crystal singing bowls.
Okay.
And they are made out of quartz crystal and fired. A couple of these are also elemental bowls or alchemy bowls, and so they also have elements like cobalt, and then I can't pronounce this.
Praseodymium.
Praseodymium, which is a soft metal, and they are baked into the crystal. If it's okay, I can sound them and
sure.
You can have a sense of.
Wow, I think the microphone just exploded. So you are just, what are you holding right now?
This is a baton.
Just a baton, okay.
And
just sways.
It's like a short.
It's covered in, it's kind of a rubber cylinder and covered in suede.
Okay.
Soft suede. And so in the rubbing the edges, it reverberates, it starts vibrating to make the bowl come alive in its sound. And it's quite amazing, actually. We had some bowls that were at different, we measured them at one point in hertz to see where they were in their notes. And they were kind of all over the place, in like plus 20 or plus, you know, 10 or, you know, here and there with these four bowls. And this is when we're still exploring this idea of sound in the notes and is related to the chakra tones. And we noticed that when we measured them individually, they stayed in their individual kind of little, sort of all over the place in their notes. And when we measured them together, closer together, they started moving together in their band, within their each note, but within the band. So they each became closer to plus 20 hertz in their note.
Wow.
So that to me also seems like an interesting discovery for sure, an observation, but it also speaks to ourselves, individuals. We kind of feel that intuitively, we can see that when we respond to one another. If someone is in a certain place of openness and receptivity, we can open and meet that and be closer to where they are and have dialogue that can often become greater than our individual thoughts, you know. There's this openness and receptivity in that. We're on the same wavelength, the same sound wave. And so we see that demonstrated in these crystal bowls.
It's almost like they can teach us.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are teachers.
In sound therapy, they talk about, in sound treatment, that it's something called entrainment, which is when you strike a tone of high frequency, you can touch upon and start vibrating aspects of that chord and bring it upward, move it, shift it, that it meets and joins and moves forward. And in some ways, maybe that's what we can do with one another.
That's a lovely symbol. Well, Stacey and David, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being at this conference.
Thank you.
What a privilege for us.
Well, it's a blessing. So, yeah, thank you. And
thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your time here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Take care.
I wonder if it comes across as strange to any of you that the sound of a singing bowl could bring someone to tears. Well, I wonder if you have ever experienced anything like that. Not just sound, but whether you've actually opened yourself up to being receptive to what is and being vulnerable just in that space. Whether singing bowl is for you or not, the key insight that I learned from Stacey and David in our conversation is that they're open to discovery on their own spiritual journeys and strive to find that which creates stillness and receptivity to the divine in their own lives. What helps you to experience awareness to that which is both external and internal of being at the same time? What helps you in creating stillness and receptivity? To learn more about Stacey and David's work, you can check out their website, which is called passagesandpathways.com. Again, that URL is passagesandpathways, all one word, .com. This is Matt Whitney with Spiritual Directors International. Thanks again for listening. Your time and your presence here are deeply appreciated. If you liked this show and would like us to continue making them, please do subscribe now while it's fresh on your mind. Also, we would love to hear from you, so please feel free to send in your comments and suggestions to the email address podcast@sdiworld.org. To learn more about spiritual companionship and ways that you can plug in and join our community, visit us at our website at www.sdiworld.org. Thank you. Blessings and peace on your day, and may you share blessings and peace to others.